Fairyland, Fairyland, there was to be high revel in Fairyland, from far and wide, from uphill and down dale, from here, there, and all about, the little people were to gather in the Violet Valley. Oberon and Titania were coming, as well as Mabe, Puck, Gloriana, Tinkerbell, and innumerable, unnameable others of the princes, thrones, dominations, powers of elfdom. Pixies, gnomes, kelpies, sprites, brownies, sylphs, every shadow and shape owning allegiance to the Fairy King would endeavor to be at that Congress of the Mimic Immortals. It was a red letter night in the history of the aristocratical democracy, the greatest occasion of the kind since the year one. Tomorrow would be May Day, and midnight was not just yet. Nightingales were tuning, preparing. The air was honeyed with the scent of flowers. A round white moon looked from a shining sky on the Violet Valley. It lingered, traveled tardily across mountains and spaces of leisurely drifting clouds, waiting with its best dilatoriness, intending to see all that was possible of the approaching revels. It looked upon and lighted a scene of young-leaved trees, grass of the freshest green, new-come flowers, and sparkling waters. The world, which is always beautiful, wore its best loveliness then. That was Fairyland. Far away northwards, there was a lurid, hazy glow in the sky. Red, vast, and vague it loomed, obliterating the stars beyond, marking the place where Fairyland was not. That was the shadow which shone over London. In the country there was peace, absolute peace. Then, mellowed by distance, the chimes of a church clock. The fairy time had come. At once, a nightingale began its emotional song. And others, scattered on many trees, gradually joined in the throbbing chorus. Every moment their melody grew in joyousness, and ever spreading, roused the nightingales on still more distant trees to join in the anthem of rapture. Until every glade in Fairyland was happier for their happiness. Thank you. There was some reed-fringed water in the center of the Violet Valley. It was a pond, or a lake, according to the charity and imagination of the mortal who looked at it. Well, to the fairies, it was a lake, large and estimable enough for their most ambitious purposes. A bright light appeared in the depths of that water now, and slowly uprose till it reached the surface, when the nymph of the pool appeared. She sat, a shining figure, on a water leaf, and waved a glistening wand. In prompt obedience, gnomes appeared. Pell-mell, up they came tumbling, a multicolored host, everyone with shining face and as full of excitement, activities, and the thousand mischiefs as is the moonlit night of shadows. So rapidly they swarmed, elbowing, scrambling, hustling, stumbling, clambering from hidden holes and grass-shrouded crannies of earth that actually slender paths were worn bare by their hurrying feet. From the branches of trees they dropped, over hillocks of grass they hastened to prepare for the revels. The gnomes are the democracy of the elf countries and, like some of us mortals, are the folk who do the necessary drudging work. When they set to labor with willingness, not often had fairy eyes seen such obvious earnestness to be well done with irksome business. Weeds, which are really weeds, nauseous and mischievous, and not flowers, become unpopular, very carefully uprooted and packed away. Fuel to feed the fires of the brownies as anvils. And a broad tract of green was made flawless, that fairies might dance there unhindered. Glowworms were coaxed or forcibly carried to places where their blue-white lights would be at once ornamental and useful. Dew was scattered broadcast to reflect from myriad points the diamond moonlight. The lamps of the flowers were trimmed and lit, and soon, from all sides, were shedding gentle radiance, and dreams came drifting down from the opal spaces. While the gnomes worked, they whistled, not fairy songs now, but snatches of lame melodies borrowed from holiday mortals. It was a hodgepodge of sounds, a sizzling blur, not so unpleasing. Gnomes are rather fond of that sort of thing. Their ear for music is possibly imperfect. Well, presently there was trouble, and Bim was a center of petty uproar. He was a gnome, very young as they go, and from top to toe, red as a holly berry. While his work brothers rushed and bustled, Bim was languid. Even Monsieur Chocolat himself could hardly have been less useful. He did his best, little better than nothing. But then he was very tired. All that day and through the previous night, he had been traveling. From the distant land of wild roses he had toiled, following laboriously the course over which a company of fairies had easily flown or danced. They had been hastening to the Valley of Revels, and he must needs come too, because June was amongst them. It had been such a journey. The mere remembrance of the toil caused him to ache through every inch of his 6 inches. He had started on the previous evening, the instant the moon had peeped above the horizon. The fairy contingent had preceded him some hours earlier. He had only the vaguest notion of the way to take, never having been out of the land of wild roses before. 3 things kept him, more or less, to the right track. He saw, now and then, solitary fairies on the wing wending their ways towards the place of assembly. More frequently, he passed flowers of sweetness so refreshed that evidently they had been touched by beneficent wands but recently. 3 owls hooting had spared a word of advice and direction to the persevering wanderer. The moon, which lighted its pathway, had followed her course till lost in the shine of morning. The stars had brightened and quivered and gone. The sun had lived his period of hours. The birds had worked and sung. The flowers and grasses had waved through a long, bright April day. And still, the determined gnome had laboriously journeyed on, following the flight of the fairy June. Bim had been several times led astray through his ignorance, but all his wanderings, stumblings, and weariness could not dim or lessen his determination. He rested but once, sleeping for a sunny hour in a welcome bedroom of nightshade and nettles in white blossom. At last, he came to the turning of his long, long lane. Now he was in the Violet Valley, and pressed with the others of his below-stairs brethren to the work of preparation, and he could not. He had the full weariness of a new arrival. Those of the gnomes, even those who had journeyed long distances, had been able to rest before laboring. There was no such fortune for Bim. Here he was, and at once he must do his share. And a great many gnomes, noticing his languor, ceased work altogether to insist that he did not shirk. So there was an uproar. 5 minor tyrants, self-appointed foremen, began to kick him, and Bim squealed like a tin whistle. And then Justice, in the person of the nymph of the pool, intervened. And thereby hangs this tale. One word from the water fairy was enough to release Bim from his persecutors and to send them hurriedly to work again till all preparation was ended and the Violet Valley was ready for rejoicing. "Gnome," said the nymph, "you must be young as springtime or you would not have come so far and arrived so late. You are, I see, from the land of the wild rose. So was I. So is June, our June. You shall be favored. Lie under that dock leaf. Keep still and take rest. You shall see the best of the wonders. Lucky gnome, you." Bim obeyed, creeping to the hiding place and lying there, resting, his eyes alight, as quietly as a mouse with suspicions. The gnomes, their business well ended, ran to points of vantage. Now they clambered along boughs, clung to tree creepers and shrubbery like blobs of living fruit. Cross-legged they perched on mounds, whistling, singing, playing impish pranks, and chafing and chiding one another in all the happiness of easy idleness. And they were the jolliest mob in Fairyland that night. There was not a grumble in the whole assembly. And then the fairies began to arrive. From here and there, like musical snowflakes, they fell, flying down from the skies. They sparkled like gems, their wands were pointed with brilliance, their wings shone with iridescence, and their garments were spangled gossamer. As each elf knight alighted, he folded his wings and marched, with lance or slender sword upraised, to an appointed place and stood there attentive, waiting, while in myriad gnome voices the heroes were acclaimed. As every gentle fairy came to earth, she tripped or lightly flew over the dancing ground and sat or reclined among the flowers. The Violet Valley was thronged with 1,000 pictures of loveliness and enchantment. And all the while the gathering proceeded, they and the fairies were singing a world-old fairy song. The bells of Elfland musically jangled. And Bim and the stars were delighted. So was the moon. Fairy horns and trumpets pealed. A fanfare of welcome rang with echoes over the higher land grasses, for here are the royalties. A procession worth seeing slowly approached and passed. The pride and panoply of mortal pageantry is tinsel and crudeness in comparison with what the fairies can do. Leading came a bodyguard of gnomes, looking quaint and important in their warlike furniture, their round faces wearing expressions of tremendous seriousness, their goggle eyes and legs, some spindle, others bandy as halfway hoops, give a sort of pantomime poetry to the proceedings. "Shiar! Shiar! Shiar!" shouted their commander in his best militaries. And they halted, turned inwards in two long lines, stepped backwards, leaving a generous space between them, and shuffled into comparative exactness of places. They were ranged in companies according to color, the pride of position belonging to the sky blue and grass green companies. Following came the flower of fairy chivalry, knights whose duty it is to control and imprison the dragons which long ages ago terrified and destroyed humanity, passed along, proudly cheered. Down into fiery depths of earth these happy warriors go, and there, with infinite courage, flashing swords and magic spears, do battle with and awe the flame-breathing furies, preventing their escape to earth, where they would wreak mischief, work havoc, and destroy. Fortunate for us, if only we knew it, that we have the fairies to rid us of these monsters and keep them in restraint. Banish the elves from our imaginings, and many hidden horrors would rise again. The old forgotten terrors and a million uglinesses which ever threaten us would resume their evil reigns. Banish the elves, indeed! There were knights tried by all manners of adventure. Thousand-year-old young heroes whose efforts always help in the battle of right and against wrong. They are the joyous cavaliers. The fairies are bright, as their services have been beneficent. The best of the warriors are as dazzling as sunlight at noontide. And as the knights marched in inverse order to their prowess and worth, the most meritorious and honorable last, the procession became brighter and brighter as it progressed, till only elf eyes could have endured its absolute brilliancy. It was as a rippling river of light traveling through fields of melody. Bim, to whom all this was a magnificent dream, trembled with excitement and awe. He had heard tales of majestic doings told by gnomes who had made adventures and seen, but nothing before had sounded so fine as the mere shadow of this. He lay in his burrow, snug, and repeatedly pinched his leg to remind himself of his wonderful good luck. And he saw the knights group themselves in a wide semicircle round a double throne, gem-built and golden, made by moonbeams and magic out of a nest of wild growth. Jack-o'-lantern, Will-o'-the-Wisp, and their shivering green company kept guard about it. Goblins gathered on a poplar tree. Then, after an interval, came perfection at its best. Sweetness in all its qualities. Loveliness beyond adjectives. The fairies who watch the flowers in their building and tend them that they may give generously of their treasures in scent, color, and brightness. Who teach birds music and win from them their finest songs, who carry daydreams to those who require them, they only bring some of the dreams of night, who help Santa Claus during his Christmas mission, who put hopes in the hearts of the weary. They flew slowly on fluttering wings, just over the grass. The beads of dew beneath glistening sharply, a thousand, thousand points, reflections. Last of that chapter of the marvelous procession came one whom the lookers-on acclaimed with ardor, the heroine of that silver night. June! 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 In her honor, all this rejoicing was made. The great event of that calendar night was to be the crowning of June. Then, with new trumpetings, came Oberon and Titania, the most puissant of kings and queens, whose realms and governance extend from the depths beneath, where the brownies in their fire shops labor and create, to the high-built hidden palaces of the clouds. All castles in the air are in the kingdom of Oberon. Remember that. The royalties of Fairyland are royal indeed. And they were accompanied by an escort of princes and princesses, of knights, elves, and gnomes, until the procession ended. Oberon and his queen sat on the double throne. He raised his scepter in signal. The revels began. Many of the fairies who had been waiting thereupon ran to the dancing green, and on wings and feet as light and graceful as moonbeams on flowing water, danced. It was a vision of loveliness, the perfect poetry of music and emotion. And so it went on and on, a kind of dream and of worship, till every one of the fairies had sung and danced her share. All the while there was the singing of elf songs to an accompaniment of nightingale voices, and joyous feasting on honeyed nectar and cates, the produce of fairy kitchens. The moon drifted along, jealous of the passing clouds which occasionally veiled her view, watching, and from her loneliness, rejoicing with the fairies in their joy. Till Oberon arose, and the birds ceased their songs. An owl hooted 5 times. Bim, forgetting caution, came boldly out of his hiding place, the better to watch. The king raised an opal cup and gave the word, June! Every voice in Fairyland echoed him. The woods repeated the name, June! June! June!